Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. So at this time, if you would please find your Bibles. Maybe you brought them with you here to worship this morning. We encourage you to do so. Or if you have the app on your phone that works, or if you need to borrow a Bible, there's a few over by the information area there. And you see on our screen this morning, our scripture passage is found in the book of Matthew. Matthew is the very first book of the New Testament. We're going to be in chapter 6. And we're going to be starting in verse 19. And we're again in Matthew 6. We here at Westview, if you're new with us or haven't been here for a little bit, just a reminder, we are in the midst of kind of a lengthy study together where several months ago we said that we want to engage and embrace the fullness of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, the fullness of following after Him, leaving behind a minimalistic mindset or a low bar mentality and embrace all that Jesus has for us. And what better place to do that than here in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus is speaking to His disciples on a hillside, sharing with them all sorts of different things around what it means to be a disciple of Him. And we've been slowly working our way through the Sermon on the Mount in these little mini-series or sub-series. And we finished one last week in the first part of Matthew 6, where Jesus talks about these acts of righteousness that we do in and amongst the world, giving and praying and forgiving and fasting. And today we've made our way to the second half of chapter 6, where the focus of Jesus' teaching is now on our focus, on those things that we give time and attention to, those things that have our allegiance. And we're going to be asking this question. It's really today and next week. We're asking the question you see on the screen there in the purple. Where is our worry? So this first part today of a two-part sermon, just a two-part mini-series, we want to ask that question. What is our worry? And in the sense of what is most of concern to us? What are the things that we give our attention to? What are the things that we are focusing upon? This is what Jesus would have for us to consider in the second part here of Matthew chapter 6. And so we're going to begin to wrestle with that today and again next week. And as we do, we're going to pray and read this passage. I'm going to invite Hayden Hickenbottom, please, to come. And she's going to pray for us, and then she's going to read this passage for us.
Please pray with me. God, we thank you for the opportunity for your word, and we thank you for the opportunity to read and study your word this morning. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would open our hearts and minds to all that you have for us today. Guide the words Pastor Josh has prepared and share with us. Speak to each of us as we continue to follow your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray all of this in His name. Amen. Matthew 6:19 through 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moss and rust destroy and where thieves break and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
Thank you, Hayden, for reading. So I don't know how moms do it, period. We'll just leave it right there, yes? But what I'm specifically thinking of this morning are those moms who have two kids who are on opposite teams and they're playing against each other in a game. And I know this probably happens in all sorts of different sports, but specifically this morning, I'm thinking of football, where a mom has one son on one team and one son on another team, and they're competing against each other. And what I've seen, and maybe you've seen this as well, is that some of those moms, what they'll do is they will get a split jersey made, where one half is of one of their one son and on the team that they're on, and the other half is the other son and the team that they're on. For example, I got a couple pictures for us this morning. We'll look at this first one here. This is Cheryl Bosa. You can see that. She's the mom of Nick and Joey Bosa. And at this time, you can see that one of the sons was playing for the 49ers, the red team on as we're looking at it, your left, right, and her right, and the other one was playing for the Chargers, the blue team, a split jersey. We had another example here this morning. This isn't a mom, but I remember when this happened a couple of years ago. This young lady, she was the sister of the quarterback for Notre Dame, and she was dating a linebacker from Ohio State, and they were playing against each other. And so she had that jersey made, and I wanted to include this because I wanted to say, isn't that about the most ugliest jersey you have ever seen in your life? Notre Dame and Ohio State. Go blue, always, right? I was super impressed with this next jersey, though. This is the mom of JJ, TJ, and Derek Watt. She had three sons who made it into the NFL, and she had this customized jersey made. You see Chargers and Steelers and Texans there for all three of her sons. Now, probably most famous, however, and I know with all of you Chiefs fans, I've got to name this one as well, or I'm going to hear about it, is the jersey from Mama Kelsey, right, who had two sons who played in the Super Bowl, and she had this jersey made. And this one's even a little different. It's not split down the middle, but a front and a back. Are you happy, Chiefs fans? Yes? Fine? Yeah, we can move on from that? Okay, very good. Very good, right? I think these jerseys, like this one as well, and the other ones, they're nice, right? They're kind of cute. They mean well and stuff like that. But my question is, how do those moms do it? Surely they love both of their children equally. And yet these children are competing against one another in this game. And so that means that when the mom is cheering for one of her sons, when then something is going really well for one of her sons, she's cheering for them. She's actually actively rooting against the good of another son. I mean, even the CNN headline back when Mama Kelsey had to, when her two sons were playing in the Super Bowl, it read, "Which son will she support?" See, in that moment, in those games, their allegiance is divided. Neither son is getting the full attention, the full devotion, the full adoration from their mama. So you might be wondering what I'm wearing. And you might even more be wondering, why is he wearing such a thing? Let me tell you a quick story. So some of you know, many of you know that I used to be a pastor in Michigan. And when I was a pastor in Michigan at a church called North Holland, in Michigan, that church, they knew, just like you know, that I am a diehard Minnesota Vikings fan. And yet that congregation was predominantly made up of Lions fans. And this was even, I was the pastor there when the Lions went 0-16. And they still had fans. It was amazing, right? And some of those brave souls at that congregation, they tried their hardest to convert me to become a Lions fan. And one of my dearest friends there, she's super talented, she made this shirt for me. And then she and her family took me to a Lions-Vikings game at Ford Field in Detroit with a stipulation that I had to wear this shirt. And I wore it around the concourse, I think, on both levels, and I tell you the comments that I got that day. And I have kept this shirt in my closet for one reason, because when I see it, I think of my dear friend. She was a dear, dear friend to us. But I also kept this shirt for this moment when we had finally come to this passage. I've never preached this passage before, and I said, this is the sermon illustration of all sermon illustrations for this passage. Finally get to wear this shirt. But let's be very clear. Doesn't matter which two teams are on here, this looks ridiculous, yes? But even more than looking ridiculous, we who are trying to embrace the fullness of discipleship, having a divided allegiance, is concerning. And even more than just concerning, a divided allegiance according to Jesus is impossible. Look at verse 24 with me in our passage. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Do you see who he says? No one can do it. Not you, not you, not you, not you, not you, not you, not even you. No one means not one single person can serve two masters, can have a split allegiance. Now in that verse 24, the word serve shows up twice. And in both places, it can also be translated to another appropriate word. In fact, probably even a more appropriate word that this Greek word can be translated. It's given the ancient culture of which these words were first spoken. And so the word there, yes, can be translated as serve, but that word is also, at other times in Scripture, translated as slave. A slave has a master who has absolute ownership. A slave is one who has a master who is undisputedly in control of them, to whom a slave must have complete allegiance. And Jesus is saying here that we cannot have complete allegiance to two masters. Our commitment cannot be divided. He says we will either hate the one and love the other, or we will be despising the one and be devoted to the other. And we maybe think, well, I bet I can hold two in tension. I bet I can hold two and follow both of them equally. Well, let's try this. Let's give an illustration on this. Let's imagine that we like ice cream. Anybody? Is that a hard one to do? Yeah? Let's imagine we like ice cream and we say that we like both Dairy Queen and Culver's equally. That we are committed to both of them. And we say that we are 100% loyally dedicated to both, and both of them are number one in satisfying our ice cream cravings. We can say that. But here comes the struggle when you have two masters. Sometimes there's differences, and they have differences of opinions or differences of things that they do. So what happens then when we have these high school athletes that come around to your neighborhood, do you ever have this? And they sell you these cards. And we buy a card. And then on the back, there's these deals. And they're great deals, right? And Dairy Queen has a deal that says, buy one Blizzard, get one of equal or lesser value for 99 cents. Not a bad deal. But then right below that, it says Culver's, buy one medium concrete mixer, get a second concrete mixer free, all in capital letters. Two masters here, but you know where this Dutch boy, where his loyalty is going to go. Because free is free. Now, all of us here in this area, better yet, go to Walkie Ice Cream Shop or Home Sweet Cone, okay? But point made. It's impossible to be completely devoted to two masters at the same time. Jesus says no one can be a slave to two masters. And in short, this is what the second half of chapter 6 is about. This is the focus of Jesus here, what we read today and what we're going to study next week as well, where Jesus is challenging you and me, challenging us as his disciples. Where is our concern? Where is our focus? Where is our allegiance? And we're going to borrow some of the language that we're going to hear next week. The question we're asking is, where is our worry? And today, in this first part of this kind of two-part sermon, Jesus is challenging us as disciples, where is our heart at? Where is our allegiance? And this week the focus on is when it comes to God and money. You cannot serve. You cannot be slave to, Jesus says, both God and money. That's the statement that ends our passage at the end of verse 24. And it's sort of like this exclamation point at the end of this passage. We can't serve both. Our allegiance, our concern, our worry can't be on both. We can't on Sunday say, my focus is you, God, and I'm devoted to you, you and you alone. I'm going to be generous and giving and I'm focused on you. And then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it'd be money. No one can serve two masters. It's one or the other. As disciples of Jesus following after him, we got to pick a path. And the question is, which master do we choose? Now, this talk about having two masters comes immediately after Jesus speaks of two different eyes, which is right after Jesus talks about having two different treasures. We're going to kind of work our way backwards through this passage. And so we're going to look at that paragraph right before verse 24. And at first glance, this paragraph it's an interesting one. It almost seems out of place, doesn't it? I mean, all of a sudden, we're going along, talking about treasures, talking about all these different things, and all of a sudden, Jesus is talking about eyes. But the paragraph is far more complicated than it initially seems. And is very much speaking about our relationship with God and money. So let's look at it together. Look at verse 22. Jesus says, the eye is the lamp of the body. It's a very simple phrase, it seems, but it needs a lot of attention by us. Because we so often think of an eye as what? An eye is that which brings in. We think of an eye as letting light in. I mean, from a physical standpoint, you have your irises and your pupil, and it's letting different amounts of light in. So that's how we think of an eye. And so with our eyes, we bring in. So with our eyes, we see a dear friend, and we bring that information in, and we're reminded of wonderful, fond memories. Or we see flowers, and we bring that information in, and we can almost smell how they're going to smell. Or we go down Hickman, and we drive past the sign, and the flavor of the day is something we like. Andy's Avalanche, thank you very much. And we're like, let's get a BOGO, right? Let's get a concrete mixer. Guess who really wants ice cream today? Guess who's going to get ice cream today? Right, when we think about the eyes bringing information in, but what does the verse 22 actually say? Look at it again. It says the eye is the lamp of the body. What does a lamp do? A lamp doesn't bring light in. A lamp sheds light. A lamp gives light. A lamp illuminates. And in the ancient world, the eye was seen as the illuminator of reality. That is, through the eye, we see the reality that is around us. And when we take that information in, the eye is really shedding light on the matter, shedding light on that which is around us. And what the eye illuminates, what the eye reveals, that vision that it sees, that which is surrounding us, that which is around us, those are the things that impact us. They impact our thoughts, they impact our beliefs, they impact our values, they impact what's important to us. And so the eye illuminates that which is around us. And Jesus talks about a good eye, or good eyes, and this has nothing to do with having perfect 20/20 vision. The word here for good also means a couple of different things in the Greek, and both of these things are appropriate for this passage here and for what Jesus is talking about in this illustration. One of the things that the word good here in the Greek means, it means single, as in one, as in having a single focus. So think about this. Good eyes have a single focus. What the eye is revealing and is illuminating of all that is around us when it is focused on one thing and one thing alone, when it is focused on God and the things of God, think about the impact that then has when we have a singular focus on God, when we're deeming God of all the things that are being revealed around us, when the singular focus is on God, that God is most important and not money, as Jesus will later say. Then we're not tied to the things of this world because our singular focus is on God and on Him alone. And when that's the case, then we are able to live in the other meaning of the word good. Many other times in Scripture, the same Greek word is also translated as generous. Here's a couple of examples. This is James 1, verse 5, says this, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously." Same exact word. I like this one from 2 Corinthians 9:11. Says this, "You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion." Same word. Now we have to put this all together. The I Jesus speaks of is a lamp that illuminates that which is surrounding us. In other words, that which is our surrounding us, that's what our focus is on. And a good eye has a singular focus. And when that singular focus is on the one master we have, when that is God, it frees us up then to be generous. Because money is not our concern. Money is not our master. Money does not have our allegiance, but our singular focus is on God. And it allows us not to be concerned with the rest of the things of this world, we're focused on God. Now, I won't spend nearly as much time, but the opposite is true in the rest of this illustration of Jesus, right? If your eyes are not good, bad, right? That word also means evil. The word also can mean begrudging or stingy when it comes to an attitude towards giving. Such an interesting little paragraph, yes? And a fascinating illustration that Jesus is using here. And yet this teaching of Jesus in this paragraph is profound and it has an incredible impact. He'll say, we cannot serve two masters. And Jesus is asking us, what do we see? What are we looking at? What are our eyes illuminating that is around us, that we've surrounded ourselves with? And do we have a singular focus on God, that God is the one who has our sole allegiance? And so then we can be generous with what we have because we're not worried about, we're not concerned about our money or our possessions. Some go so far to call this little paragraph here, they say it's an attack, and that's a strong word, but that's the word they use. It's an attack on the preoccupation of selfish materialism. And it's a call for the disciple of Jesus to have a wholehearted devotion to God. Because we can't serve two masters. Now this I paragraph flows right out of another paragraph, the previous verses where Jesus is talking about treasures and specifically where our treasure is. And this is important, this is critical, because Jesus says where that treasure is, that's where our heart will be also. And so in these verses, Jesus is challenging those disciples who are sitting on that hillside with Him, those disciples of us who are here with us this morning, right here today. He's asking us, He's challenging us to consider, where is our heart? And thus, where is our life oriented? Not only what are we surrounding ourselves with, but what is the overall direction of our life, of our being? Is it on God? Is it on the things of God? Or is it on, as Jesus says so bluntly, is it on things that will not last? All those possessions that we bring in and are so important to us, but eventually they will wear away. Those items that we take on and we value so much, but they erode. Those objects that we store up, that we take in, but they can be taken from us. They can be stolen. Where is our heart oriented? And we have to be very careful with these verses not to go any further than where Jesus goes, because Jesus is not condemning possessions. He's not condemning having possessions. It's okay to have things. It's okay to even have a rainy day fund, or as Dave Ramsey calls it, an emergency type fund. It's okay to enjoy the things that God has provided. But the key words we see, look at verse 19 with me. He says, do not store up for yourselves. The rub here is storing up. It's stockpiling. It's hoarding things for ourselves. and having that stingy attitude with those bad eyes and not being generous to others. So we think about, you know, those freezers that are full in our garages. And yet our classmate is going home and hungry over the weekend. Or those large homes that are immaculately decorated. And yet our neighbors are struggling to pay the rent. I so very much appreciate, but I am convicted by this quote by one of our commentators that I love to read. He names this, in reference to this paragraph, he says, "Jesus forbids his followers the selfish accumulation of goods, the extravagant and luxurious living, while having a hard-heartedness that does not feel the colossal need of the world's underprivileged people." See, when it comes to our focus, when it comes to our allegiance, when it comes to our worry, the critique of Jesus here is not about being provident, which is, you know, having a sensible provision for the future. The critique here is covetousness. The hoarding and the over-focus on materialism and always wanting more and more and more. And that's where our treasure is, because that's what we're putting our trust in. And it becomes on those things. And it becomes that which becomes what we serve. That becomes our master. On these objects and these materials. Rather than on the things of God. And the things that last. What are those things? What are these treasures of heaven that Jesus says we're to orient our lives to pursue as his disciples? It's things like developing our Christian character, the integrity with which we live, growing in faith and hope and love and charity, growing in a knowledge of Jesus, this discipleship journey that we're on, embracing, as we're doing here at Westview, the fullness of what it means to be a follower of him. Introducing others to Jesus, sharing the hope of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Stewarding God's gifts that he's given to us for the betterment of this world, for the betterment of others. They're not ours. As we talked about last week with fasting, it's not ours alone. We're stewards of them. One person said things of the treasures in heaven include specifically giving money to kingdom purposes. And they went on to say that that's the only investment whose dividends are everlasting. These are the treasures that we are to store up, to accumulate, to pursue in excess. Because Jesus is clear, we can't serve both. We can't be oriented to storing up things of this world and at the same time storing up treasures in heaven. And I'm guessing there's a few of us, maybe many of us here even this morning, like, yeah, well, I think I can. I probably could. You know, maybe some of us want to believe that we can do both. Maybe we think, yeah, I'm not. Maybe some of those sappies on the other side of the worship center, they can't do this, but I can do this. I can have a life where I am focused on God and I'm devoted to him, and at the same time fully pursuing all the things of this life that are going to make my life easier and more comfortable and all these things that I can accumulate. And I honestly believe that some of us honestly want to believe this. That we believe we can do it. We can try to do that. But here's the thing, friends. Any kind of split allegiance, even the smallest, even the most minute, even the most smallest and most tiniest, I know that's bad English and I don't care, but you get the point. Even the smallest amount of a divided focus, even if it's 99.999999999%, whatever the opposite of that to make 100% is, the smallest amount, it is no longer than full, complete soul allegiance. Think about the color white. How many shades of white are there? You start with pure white and you add one little drip of one sort, any sort of color, and it is no longer pure white. Jesus says no one can serve, no one can be enslaved to two masters. Any shape, any size, any type of divided allegiance is no longer allegiance to God. And Jesus is calling his disciples. He's calling you and me. He's calling us who want to embrace the fullness of what it means to be his disciple. He's calling us to put God first and only. to give first priority, to give sole priority to the things of God, to the things of which are eternal. Again, using the word that we're going to hear next week, where is our worry? Not in money, not in possessions, not in earthly treasures, not in anything else. Our worry is to be God. Our sole allegiance is God. For God has a great purpose for us. As we're going to see next week in the second half of this message, kind of in the second part of this little mini-series here, there are so many things we're going to see next week that vie for our concern. So many things that we can be worried about. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've been worried about them. I'm going to guess you've been worried about them too. But we're also going to find in that passage that God has a purpose. God has a calling. God has a directive for us as disciples that is worthy of all of our worry, that is worthy of all of our commitment, that is worthy of all of our allegiance. And that's why we're starting here today with this challenge that is before us, that our sole allegiance is on God. We'll say more next week. Amen. Let's pray together. God, you know, it does not take us very long to name off all the many, 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 many things in this life that vie for our attention. Money and possessions, certainly among them, as Jesus speaks to in this passage. But along with that, we could talk about phones, TV, work, reputation, the applause of others, success, relationships, food, substances, sports, grades, and so, so, so much more. Jesus teaches, though, that it's impossible for us to serve two masters, that our allegiance can't be divided. And so, God, we want to name this morning that we want our allegiance to be solely upon you. For you and the things of you are everlasting, and they're all sustaining and always trustworthy and forever good. We name this as our ambition. And in the same breath, God, we say, and we name that we will not be perfect at this. All those things are going to vie for our time, and we're going to be concerned about them. And so, God, would you forgive us when our attention is indeed divided? Would you continue to send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to set our hearts, to set our minds, to set our entire selves upon you? Today, God, we want to thank you for the privilege that it is to be in relationship with you, to worship you, to learn about you, to serve you. And so today, we also want to pray for this day and for this week ahead of VBS. We thank you for the team that has been prepping and preparing, for those who have transformed this place for this week, for those who will be in and out all week long, and especially, though, we pray for those kids who will be coming, each and every one of them. All those who will be here this week, and we pray that they would come to learn about your love for them, and they would understand what it means to trust in Jesus. We pray for our youth this summer and the time that they get to connect and serve together. We think specifically of youth group bonfires this week and the mission trip coming up. We pray for those among us as well this morning who are in need of healing, of restored health, of encouragement, of support, of reconciliation. God, you know every one of our needs. And God, we believe that you have the ability to intervene in every one of these situations, and that you have the ability to bring wholeness and healing and in a way that is a part of your plan and is for your glory. So give us eyes to see, God, and hearts to know the goodness and the power of your love for us, even when it doesn't always make sense. And for all the things that are in our hearts today, God, we thank you that you know them. And God, would you hear them, whether they are spoken aloud or whether they're whispered silently. And now, God, we want to close our time of prayer together as one voice together, praying the words that your Son Jesus taught us to pray, this Lord's Prayer. And if you'd like, the words will be on the screen. Let's pray this prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.